Today, I'm chatting with Professor Rakesh Kriplani, who is a pioneer cyber psychologist in Asia Pacific and director of the Cosmic Integrated Institute of Psychology and Security, which we're going to find out more about later. Thank you for joining us today, Rakesh.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen, for inviting me and giving an opportunity for this platform. And I'm really happy somebody is recognizing the field of cyber psychology across the globe. I'm happy for this thing.
Yay. Brilliant. Rakesh, before we get into the questions, I'd really like to find out more about you in terms of your background and then also what that pivot point was for you in terms of understanding cyber psychology and it becoming part of a big part of what you do.
So giving a brief introduction about my journey in the field of psychology and cyber psychology. So initially, when I thought of entering into the field of psychology, so I was always curious to know about how a psychologist can understand the prescription, the medical prescription. So my father, he was a doctor. He was an MBBS doctor here. So I asked him, Dad, I wanted to know about medicine. He said, you have done your master's in psychology. So how is it possible to understand the medicine part? I said, no, how can I understand the prescription? He said, why you want to understand the prescription? I said, if a patient has some drug-induced problems or something which is reactive, how can I understand this is a problem of stress or because of drugs? He said, it's too difficult because you can't do medical now. It's a psychology field. He asked me to go for some alternative thing for this part. So my career started by joining a pharma company just because of this curiosity. And I joined a pharma company as a medical representative to understand the medicines part. Wow. And there I joined as an MR, as a medical rep. And for 6 months, I worked in that company to understand all the medicines. I got free of cost training from the company, on the medical advisors, in the continuous medical education program, and they even paid me the salary also. So I was very happy that 6 months I got training. And in the 6 months, then I resigned from the company and I told the company that actually I wanted to learn medicines. And I know no one was able to train me, so I got a training here. And I wanted to become a psychologist. So, but during that period, my performance was very high there. And in fact, I sold a cosmetic product to the very rural farmers. So the company was surprised that how did you sold a farmer a cosmetic product? So that was my first training when they requested me to train the other colleagues of mine to give training to them. So journey started with this confidence, and then I worked for Ayurveda and psychology. I was a professor with homeopathy college. I was there with dietetics department for 7 years. I worked with sexology. I worked with a pathology. Then I was working in a physiotherapy department as a visiting faculty there. So I worked with 11 different colleges, medical colleges, to train psychology student and the medical part. So I always thought of having an eclectic approach during my early learning period also. During that period, Orkut was very popular. WhatsApp was yet to get introduced. And in 2008 and 2009, I had a thought in my mind, how people can basically use online platforms for counseling so that the stigma can be removed. Because I was struggling 25 years back in India. Being into the field of psychology was a big struggle. In fact, when I got married at that moment, it was a big challenge whether I should continue with my wife or continue with my profession. So basically, my in-laws and everybody said, you have choice now. Either you leave this thing or you do. I said, I want both the things together. So it was a big challenge for me for the struggle. So when Orkut was there, I was just thinking there should be some platform where online counseling should be there. And I started studying about the behavior of how people are going to internet cafes, paying 1 hour rent there at that moment and going for online chatting and other things. So during that period, I thought later on, apart from the cybersecurity, apart from the safety, which was a very primitive part at that moment in India, the people will be addicted there and there's going to be a field called cyber psychology. I started reading about it and I came to know there are very few pioneers in the world working on this thing. And I tried to convince a lot of police commissioners, bureaucrats, and a lot of policymakers in India that this is the field which you should think about. They thought, I'm just crazy. I am talking about something which is going to be 2050 or 60. So they were not recognizing me at that time. But one commissioner who was an engineering graduate, he recognized me and he said, no, I really appreciate. And we will start with the police department here and we'll invite the principals. So he invited around 400 principals. And the day one, when I went for the lecture, which was only for a 1 hour session, and he was expecting me 10 to 15 PowerPoint slides, I prepared 2,000 slides there only. And he was surprised. Wow. He said, you are You're talking about 2000 slides. I said, I'm not going to say today, but this is my research and this is for my future. Just yeah. because you gave me an opportunity, I thought I will avail this opportunity for all my PPTs. So the day one, the principals, they were surprised to know like these types of problems are going to come up. And they said, we want sessions in our school. Since then, I had been working now with Ministry of Home Affairs, Ministry of External Affairs. I worked on cyber terrorism, cyber radicalization. I worked with mobile addiction clinics. I have my own mobile addiction. I started the certificate diploma courses. And the complete ecosystem I have developed now in the last 15 years. And the ecosystem's last part, which I am coming in the month of June in Goa, in India, one of the beach tourist places in India, is one of the first world's digital rehab center in an island. When people will come down there to get rid of the mobile addiction. And someone has donated me a 20-acre island, basically, for this novel project. So that's the complete ecosystem currently I have developed. This was my journey.
Wow, that is quite a journey. And as you say, so varied. There's so many different things you've done within your working career, but come from a really interesting background of kind of the medical side of things. Do you think that that helps you from the addictions clinics that you're looking at? Do you think that helps from the biological perspective of how people operate with technology and the impact it has on them?
Definitely. So whenever I even create awareness in schools, like I have around 900 workshops commitment in 1 year for schools.
Wow.
So in a year, we deliver 900 workshops to create awareness about digital wellness. So the primary part of the workshop is basically more of scientific part, the cause-effect relationship of all these things, how dopamine works, how the endorphin and oxytocin, melatonin, how it basically social engineers are trying to control all these things. And apart from that, even on the constructive part also, where we can basically work with the neurological aspect. So that helps a lot to me. And as I said, I always believe in the eclectic part. Initially, also, when I used to talk to my colleague and say, I don't believe only on talk therapy. I think diet is also important. Mind, brain, everything is important. So yeah. They used to think, if you don't endorse your own colleagues, I said, no, a person sitting in front of me is genetic, is biological, is metabolic, is dietary part. Everything is responsible for his behavior. So same thing happens in the online virtual world also. Both the worlds are now, we can consider online and offline world.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of psychologists approach technology from a you are just a human perspective, rather than taking all those different elements of who we are into account when we're thinking about technology and how it affects us and how we use it. And that's, I think, why cyber psychology is so interesting, because we look at so many different elements of the technology use. It's not just the physically I'm scrolling and talking to someone. There's so many different ways it affects us. So you started a certificate in cyber psychology and you've been running it for a few years now, haven't you?
Certificate courses, we have started in 2020-21 during the lockdown period.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I got a very good mentor and a coach, Dr. Vaya, ma'am. She's a legendary forensic psychologist of India.
Yeah.
And she's the director there, basically, with Rashtriya Raksha University, which is one of the only police university of India run under the Ministry of Home Affairs. So it's directly under the ministry. So she endorsed this thing and she called me up during the lockdown period and she said, this is quite interesting. And she said, why don't we start this course? And we came across with the certificate and diploma courses. And every 3 months, 4 months, we have a new batch for that. And we are trying to create a human resource in India now. And even in further course, very soon, maybe we'll come up with a council also for this thing.
Okay. So every 3 or 4 months, you've got a whole new batch of students that come
on. Batch for that thing. Yeah.
How many people are on each batch that comes on?
So we have 30 students in one batch.
Okay.
So that is the limited online. If that's an online course.
Yeah.
And we haven't started offline course yet. We are doing online itself. So we restrict to 30 for the interactions so that it can be interactive. Or even then also, usually what happens if we go for 50 to 100 students, a lot of students, they don't open up the screen throughout the course. They have put up the blank screen, invisible. So we said going for a volume would disconnect us from the students. So we kept only 30 so that we can give them projects and they can at least submit the assignments.
Okay. So it means that they can interact with each other on an individual basis or on a group basis. and learn from each other and bounce off things each other rather than
that
just listening to a lecture all the time.
We give practical things also. Case studies, practical, everything.
Okay, brilliant. Now, the university that you work with, one of the things I saw, well, can't remember, on their website, that it's an institute of national importance. What does that mean and why is it nationally important?
Yeah, so in India, basically, there are two types of university. One is the state university, which is run by the state government. We have a democratic federal system here. Then we have a central government here. So there are two different universities, one which is run by state and one which is run by central. So this university was basically run by the state, Modi ji, Prime Minister Modi ji, state, Gujarat. So he opened up this university and his initiation was this thing. And later on, he became a prime minister and then he made it now a central university. So now it is under the Ministry of Home Affairs. Home Affairs, where all the police department and Ministry of everything is run. So that's now directly under the supervision of the Home Affairs. So that's why it is given the national importance, because it's a national level university now.
Okay, wow. That's very cool. And it's great that you've got that as a backing and working with them on that, because it gives what you're doing so much more credibility than just you on your own doing I'm a cyber psychologist. I want to run a course.
So basically, I'm an ERF there and I have a center of excellence jointly with them for cyber psychology. It's the first COE of India for cyber psychology. I think it's the only one. Currently, we don't have any COE for cyber psychology. Yeah. So, that's the forensic police university. So, all over India's intelligence bureau, right from the CBI to all the police department, they get trained there basically. So, to reach to the common people and to the bureaucrats, it was the best university to come up with this course. And we are doing very good now. And we are coming up with researches also. We have research students now. Slowly, we are starting PhD also there. A lot of things are coming up now.
Wow, that's so exciting. This really is pioneering work that you're doing in India. You're kind of like the front person in the pioneering world of cyber psychology in Pacific Asia, which is amazing. So you are director of Cosmic Integrated Institute of Psychology and Security. I have to read that because I can't remember it. And it's, you shortened it to SIPS, I think it is. So tell me about that and how you started that and what it... Because you just rebranded as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
So tell me about the brand as well.
So basically, SIPS was earlier Central India Institute of Psychological Science, because I am from Central India, the mid of the India, basically, Nagpur. So it was termed in that way. And we initially started like to train school counselors and like various workshops and seminars. That was the initial purpose of starting this institute. But as the cyber psychology thing picked up, I saw that every city were demanding cyber psychologists from me, and coach also, trainers also. So we thought of coming up purely on cyber psychology rather than going for other mental health training. So now basically the complete name, which is Cosmic, we have rebranded now Central India to Cosmic, that is the complete world, and integrated, that's the integration of psychology and cyber security together. And again, we have put up security. That includes everything, right from the e-security to the national security. Everything is covered in that thing. So that's the logo. Also, you can see there is a logo of eye, basically. Eye formation is there with the yellow and pink and blue color. So that also stands for basically a lot of color combinations of psychology. So now the brand rebranding is done in that way, that we are a cosmic integrated institute where we are working on psychological things, which is connected to national security and the cyber security. So we have many things with us. We are also working with the army. We are now in the process of delivering sessions to the army people, the new recruits, on mental health, especially with the work-life balancing with them. So we have many projects. Around 40 projects are there under CIIPS. We are doing CSR activities also. We have many CSR activities. We are coming up with the first free mental health counseling center in India, in Nagpur. And most probably, this is just yesterday only, I got an approval. It's going to be the first robotic free counseling center.
Wow. So tell me about the robotic counseling center. Is that using artificial intelligence, or how does that work?
Yeah, so yesterday only we got an approval for the CSR, that you can come up with this thing, and they passed me the budget for that thing. So I've inquired across the globe, but currently we have seen around two or three people are there, those who are working on robotic most of them, they are working on chatbots, and basically they are working on OpenAI system. But I was keen on putting up a robot in the chamber where people can come up and they can just talk to the robot rather than texting with the robot. So that was my part. So yesterday I got in. So let's see, maybe within a month or so, I'll be again coming down interacting with you. And that's going to be the first robotic counseling center where people would be putting a VR or robot and all together, and non-stigmatic, non-biased way they can do the counseling part.
So do you think that people will have a better therapeutic experience with the robots and AI than they would with a human? Do you think the robot takes up that power dynamic that often is in the room when you do face-to-face or even online therapy?
Yeah, because being from the cyber psychology field, I have put up the scope of cyber psychology in all the areas, right from the school problems to the mobile addiction to the terrorism. Around 40 professions are there. So one is basically about the gaming specialist or gaming developer and robotic part also. Yeah. So with the AI and cognitive engineering, working with the cyber psychologist. So in fact, I was being pro with this part. But again, another part is there, how is the treatment part, whether a person will be more comfortable with robot. So yeah, research says basically people are more comfortable with the robot, like when they feel the robot is unbiased, is non-judging, and there is a lot of information available with the robot. He has the precise evidence-based treatment available with trillions of data with him. And the most important thing, the patient or the client thinks, he will not disclose this to anybody because he doesn't know anybody in the society. Like me being a popular person in our city, after my popularity or being with so many schools, colleges, and NGOs, I faced one problem, like because of my popularity, a lot of people, they did turn up to me because they know me. They feel I know all my friends. Their common friends are there. So I usually tell my wife, I said, I'm paying the cost for the celebrity, for being a popular. That a lot of people, they don't turn up to me because they feel I am known to everybody. So here, the robot is not known. He is not a person. He stored every data with him. Mm-hmm. So one part is there. And second thing, the sensor, and slowly, gradually, the AI, along with the technology, the sensors which can be used for the pulse and BP and other things, gradually it's going to come up. So I think a robot will be able to assess the facial, is able to assess the facial expression, which we can miss because sometimes we are into a stress, we have burnouts, sometimes we are not in that state to understand, to pick up that point which a person is trying to tell us. But since the robot has that AI system along with that, so he can pick up that phrases. So I'm going to the research part now to what it, but with the psychosis, but with something like where suicidal ideations are there, or there are emergency crisis help intervention is there. I think there we will not recommend for that thing. But the normal problem, like relationship counseling, trauma, little bit issues, teenage issues, children coming up for various motivational interviewing, reinforcements, there I think they will be very much comfortable. Already they are working with ChatGPT. Already they are on Instagram and Snapchat. Already they are doing it. So we cannot reverse them now. So it's better to join them and be a part of the life there.
Yeah. Do you think that an AI will be able to understand empathy in a similar way to human? Or do you think it's just that it's about the phrases that people say and they kind of interpret those phrases in a specific way that then showcases some element of empathy? Or do you think it's kind of the tone of voice and those kind of things that the machine learning picks up, that they can then kind of do the empathy kind of thing?
Yeah. So, but here on the psychosocial perspective and the generational science, which we can discuss here for 2 minutes, like what I'm seeing on my personal analysis and my research, like the Gen Z and the Alpha, both the generations, they even lack empathy. Their sensitivity is down already. So when Gen Z, they are working with me now, just pass out students, I see very lack of empathy with them. They are not so sensitive what we were as a millennials and some millennials working for the field of psychology. They say, sir, how does it matter if somebody has a breakup? How does it matter somebody has died in the family? Why she is so depressed? This is not a big deal. They always talk in front of me in this way. Like we were used to think earlier 20 years back, this is a big trauma she is facing. There is a big problem. Now they say this is not a problem. So I think the empathy has already been diminished with the Gen Z and Alpha. it has been the past story with millennials and Generation X. So I think for them, those who are even not defined with this empathy part, if they are doing it with the robot, so they are same each other.
Yeah.
For a millennial, it may be a problem when he sits in front of robot. He may be expecting a larger empathy from the robot because he was from the face-to-face generation and from the earlier previous mobile generation. Now, these people are completely on mobile and they don't want to confront and come and talk to me on face-to-face for counseling. They say, why don't you do online? I said, you stay in my city, just 2 kilometers away from my house. Why don't you come for offline? They said, I'm comfortable online. So already they have chosen that part for the mental health. So that's the reason I shifted in that way. Okay, let's join them rather than asking them to get the perceptions of adoption of basically millennials and Generation X.
Yeah.
So that is the reason. Empathy will be lacking, definitely. But Gen Z Alpha will not recognize this thing.
I agree with you. I think that's a really good point, is that trying to get them into our space of kind of millennial Gen X world of, we like face-to-face, we prefer talking to people, and to shoehorn them into that comfort, what we find comfortable, is actually unfair on them. And it makes it more of a power dynamic, and they don't quite, when they're not comfortable, then they can't open up. So it's a really good point. Didn't think about that. Hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing stuff you're doing. So going back to your cybersecurity side of things, I saw that you got Dr. Mary Akin to do a talk with you. She's one of my heroes in cyber psychology. So I'm very envious that you got her to do a talk.
Yeah. In fact, everybody's hero. She's everybody. We all admire her. We adore her. Basically what the work she has done.
Yes, absolutely. So what did she talk about, and what did she do with you? Did she help you launch the certificate, or what was her role there?
So I have a basic protocol, like whenever I start the certificate course, so I invite one international guest from the field of cyber psychology.
Yeah.
So initially, I have invited Linda Kaye also from UK. She also was one of the guests.
Oh, another one of the heroes.
So Mary, she also was there. So Rahul Jha from Intech, also from ITUC, also I invite. So always I have searched somebody who are working the world leaders in the field of cyber psychology, and they can come. So she was there as a chief guest for the program, and she spoke about the research part, about how India and we can, she can just collaborate with us for various things. And we are just in the process of doing something good and asking the Indian government, like, to come up with some process or program with Mary. So that last time she said, Kili, that you invite me for India, and I'd like to deliver a session for the Indian bureaucrats and the policymakers there.
Wow, brilliant. That she's very knowledgeable about that.
Yeah.
To have her come and chat to you and to your key audience is such a bonus. So fabulous. So in terms of the certificate going forward, so you've launched a few years ago, but you're really now growing it substantially. What do you think your vision is for the certificates in the next kind of 5 years? Where would you like to
go? I think now the human resource, the workforce for cyber psychology is required across the globe. I was there last year at Japan for the United Nations IGF program. And there I came to know from many countries that they are not still aware about cyber psychology. And they are inviting me to their countries to deliver or to do something about cyber psychology. So I was very happy to understand that people are accepting this across the globe now, but still the human resource is lacking. So, and in India now, since I created this awareness now, so many cities here, many universities, they have asked me to start courses. We're interacting and with finalizing with many universities in India. They wanted to come up with COE. And since we are tied up with Rashtriya Raksha University for this particular title, Certificate in Cyber Psychology, so we cannot give this title to another university. We are trying to put up in cybernetics or some other course there. But now every university, they want to come up with this course, credit courses also. And with human resource development, the schools now, they wanted to come up cyber counselors in school in India. Not only the school counselor, but the cyber counselors, those who can treat only the addiction part and the mobile screen time. In India, there is a big problem going on. The children here are sleeping at morning 5 a.m. The whole night they are awake. So there is a big problem going on. The sleep is the biggest problem now. And they go to school drowsy, then irritability, anger issues, mobile gaming issues, even a lot of cases of deep vein thrombosis, cardiac attacks, suicides. It's on a rampant level everywhere it's going on. Every day, the front page of any city has one or two news of mobile suicides or gaming addictions. So it's a big problem. Even with the gambling part also, younger generations, they have entered into crypto and other gamblings, poker and other gamblings. So there also a lot of problems are going on. So now we can say we are on the bombshell at this moment. It's going to blast. So every parent, they know. Only thing that everybody is looking for a solution. So I've been alone. I thought I cannot reach to each and every family. And just making videos or putting up reels and shorts cannot actually solve the problem. It can only orient them about the problem. And the problem is known by everybody that they can see the child throughout the day sitting in a room and playing gaming. So they don't need to understand what is gaming addiction. They are suffering from that thing. So we need human resource and train human resource. So that's the reason this certificate course has a wider scope across the thing, like right from the cybersecurity professional to the psychology students, postgraduates, doctors, school teachers, anybody can do this thing. And they can initially at least create awareness. They can coach in school. They can go and train in school. And when it comes to the clinical aspect, they can refer it to a psychologist. That is one part. And once those psychologists, those who are doing this course, we train them specially for addiction and de-addiction part. We have special batches for that thing, like how to make them detox, how to give them alternatives, how to make them more. This is what basically we train them, specially with the psychological fraternity. So we have different courses for that. So it's a big scope all over the world, in SAARC countries, Asia Pacific, European countries. Everybody is saying this, how we can come up this course with our European Union and other places. Only thing we have to reach through all like people and you and make a consortium partners with each other and come up with these courses.
Absolutely. So it sounds like more than anything, you need practical help for families, for schools, for so many different institutions. They just need something practical. And as you say, there's kind of anecdotally, people see their children struggling with the phone, struggling with addiction, struggling with suicide, and they know there's an issue, but they don't quite know how to solve it. And do you find in the mass media that there is a lot of scare stories around mobile phones rather than practical help?
That's true. That's true. Everybody's selling anxiety. Everybody's creating and inducing anxiety, and right from the consumer products to everything. Yeah. And the cost-effect relationship, no one is able to make understand, because a lot of solutions can be at home itself. It yeah. can be sorted at home. Like simplest way, when I deliver sessions for the certificate or my workshop, I usually tell them right from the baby boomers to the Gen Z and Alpha, how they behave online and what are the cyber behaviors. Many problems are sorted because of that. They are able to understand, okay, we belong to Gen Z, we belong to X and Y. So obviously there is a difference of behavior. So this is a small insight which can be developed at home itself. So rather than telling them, okay, suicide is happening, it's better to tell them why these suicides are happening and what's your communication role, how you can talk in short to this emojis generation, to this short generation. So this is what I think, like online everywhere, even in India also with our colleagues, and they daily they put up shorts and videos, reels on Instagram, indicating the symptoms they want clients. So my mission and my vision, I can say my overall contribution to the planet is basically to somewhere bring a social impact. So because I came to know Caroline in a few years back that I cannot eat more than my hunger. That's the limited thing I have. I can eat my 2 spoons of rice or something. More than that is all wastage. So there were somewhere I wanted to contribute to the society, give back to the society. And when even my child, he's basically an alpha. He's a 13-year-old child. So he will also be surviving in this society where everybody is going to be insane, zombies. So what type of society I'm going to give to them? Same like what climate has done. We have done the mistakes. Our children are facing the climatical problems now.
Yeah.
So this is my vision and mission. Like this is the reason I'm moving across the globe, asking people if we are not able to sort it out now in next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be irreversible, same like climate.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is an element of, and this whole generation that's growing up now, we're laying down foundations for them, neurological foundations, if not social foundations and cultural foundations, that in a lot of ways are irreversible. And I think growing up, because I grew up analytical, so we didn't have computers when I was growing up, neither in school or in university, or in the home. And it's only in my mid-20s when I got my first mobile phone. And those were the digital ones. And it was only later on that I kind of got into the smartphone. So from my perspective, I'd be looking at this generation from the younger generation from it. I grew up in analytical world. So for me to try and understand that is very difficult. So I agree, there's an element of education across generations of children. This is how your parents see things, and parents, this is how your children see things. And let's find a common ground that we can talk about how technology is changing us and changing how we interact. And with that in mind as well, one of the things I often say to people, is, especially as adults and parents, is that children watch us and how we use our technology. Yeah. And they often copy it. So we talk about screen time for them, but we don't often think about our own screen time and what our children see. And they see, this is how you be an adult. You do this with your phone and you don't look at me, you just do this and you work. So do you think that has an impact of how we operate our technology as grown-ups and how that impacts our children in the home environment?
Obviously, but it's not only the sole reason for children getting into this particular addiction or online behavior. Because even those parents, those who are not using the mobile or not being much on the screen, even their children are also basically into the mobile problems nowadays. I have so many parents for the middle class people, those who don't have time for mobile, but they come up with the children, they have a mobile addiction with the children. Right. Because the most problematic thing is the peer group influence. The peer influence is so high outside. They need validation. They need approval. There are internal needs which are there into the subconscious mind. And they want these needs to be satisfied from that peer group. So if they don't belong to that group, they don't do anything, they don't belong to that group. So that need of validation, approval from the group, from the peer group, is the most problematic thing that is triggering them. So I guess that is the most thing where we need to make them aware. In our sessions, basically what we do in schools, on the day one and the day two, a lot of parents, they come up to schools and they say, what type of session was conducted? Our children, they came back home and they were putting stickers on the front camera and they said, no, I want to uninstall PUBG. So principals are very happy. They said, sir, my parents, they turn up today and they said, they are happy. So what was the session held? I said, we created the insight. We don't moral police them. We did not tell them not to do. We only told them what exactly happens in the social dark net, how it goes. So they are quite intelligent enough. They are 5G now. They are not 3G and 2G. They are 5G. Their absorption is very fast. They understand the language in a short course. They don't want lectures and big lectures. They want, let us know what is the problem. We'll sort it out.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting perspective. So it's not about telling people what to do. It's telling them or educating them on the implications and how it affects you. And they make up their own mind and make their own decisions on how to go forward and operate with technology. So that's fantastic. It's a great way, I think, to help people, give them tools to make better decisions around technology. Sorry. So in terms of going forward, you've got so much that you want to do and so much you want to achieve. How on earth are you going to achieve all this?
Pardon, I didn't understand. Voice was breaking. Okay. How are you?
Okay, let me do that again.
Yeah.
So there's so much that you want to achieve and so many things that you want to get done in the next 5 years. There's massive ambitions. How do you think you're going to make that work? Because as you said, you can only eat, if you can only eat 2 spoons of rice, that's all you can eat.
So I'm working now and hard on this thing. I know maybe a few things will be left behind. Still, I have a long way to go. But currently, the complete ecosystem or the complete dots, currently it has connected. So if you see right from the schools, we have a lot of schools here, leading schools of India, those who are running our programs in school. So we have this year's commitment of 900 workshops. We have companies and corporates, they are doing program for that. We have government missionaries and ministries, those are working with us. And then we have private sectors, then now with the resort part. So currently, only thing which is left is global aspect. So globally also, now I had been visiting twice or thrice outside and getting in a lot of invitations from all. Only thing what I am seeing is lacking is getting human resource for this thing. Trained human resource, which I think, because otherwise I will not have a legacy to follow. This will end up with me itself when I go. So maybe in India, very few people will come up with this thought, okay, this was a field somebody thought about. So second line, to create a second line is becoming a very challenging task for me.
Yeah.
And when I create a second line, they feel, sir, it's not so financially lucrative. I'm not getting so much of financial benefits what I get from other fields. So they don't sustain in that way. And there are no funders, no VC funding. No one is able to accept it till now also that they will fund this thing. I'm doing it from the bootstrap from last many years. And my own company's valuation is quite good. But then also, I've spoken to a lot of corporates, those who are, followers of me. But when it comes to cyber psychology, they know the problem is there, but they feel it's not a commercial viable thing. It's a social project. They don't consider still a cyber psychology or psychology to be a commercial venture where we can reach the masses. So I'm looking forward for somebody who can take under his umbrella, under the corporate umbrella or the government umbrella. And I'm trying to reach our prime minister. I'm trying to reach to the top home minister here so that once they come to know about this part, that wow, how hard I'm working in the Asia part. So I think same like as what yoga we have given to the world, cyber psychology will be also a part of India to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way you put that because I think that's true in a lot of countries, even in the UK, really. Cyber psychology is slightly more of a social issue than a commercial venture. And it hasn't quite broken into the commercial world yet in a way that the majority of people recognize what it is and how it can add value to either companies or institutions. But I think there's a lot of work that all of us have to do to educate and get people understanding the value that is cyber psychology and what it and the value it adds to humans, to culture, to society. So I think, yeah, the work you're doing is phenomenal in India. And we all need to follow your example and make cyber psychology a lot more commercially viable, because then it becomes a generic knowledge base rather than just, oh, this is a little social project and well done, Yves. So well done. Well done for all the work you've done.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words and appreciation. This means a lot, basically, to me.
It is. It's hard work being a pioneer in any field. And this is a really tough one because there's so many people who are crying out for help. But how do we actually, A, get the word out to them and give them the help they need, but also make it financially viable? Because it's a lot of hard work to be a pioneer. It takes a lot of energy. So well done. Are there any other things you want to kind of chat about that we haven't spoken about? Because you've spoken about lots of amazing things that you're involved in. But is there anything that you haven't covered yet that you thought, oh, I really want to just chat about this?
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, like a lot of people, they feel like when it comes to the term cyber psychology, they think about cyber addiction. And they feel it is restricted to cyber addiction itself. It's not so. Cyber psychology has bigger spectrum than the cyber addiction itself. So right from digital psychology, right from the marketing, consumer psychology, behavioral economics, and the most important thing, which is a national and international concern for everybody, is basically the cyber radicalization and cyber terrorism and cyber warfare. This is the most important thing which we need to understand. So I think there we require a lot of people who understand the geopolitical aspect as well as the psychology and cyber aspects together to make it the country safer, the world to be safer and peaceful. Because the war now is not basically one-to-one, the drone war and the robotic war and the cyber war is coming up now. So it's very difficult now in coming days, in the next generation, Gen Z and Beta generation, they are going to see a very challenging things when it comes to the climate as well as to the internet, because at any time it's going to get collapsed. So India, basically, it is the cyber crime is going up more than around 300%, and millions daily swiping of money is going on. It's getting swipe off. So, and the detection is also very less than 1%. Conviction is less than 1%. So, we need a lot of professionals now. 8 lakhs professionals are required in India for cybersecurity. Consider about the world. It's a scope there, basically, when it comes to the employability part. A lot of people can get employed. But when it comes to national security, because that makes the world peaceful. And so I have one student now. She is from Syria and she's doing a cyber psychology course. She's telling about how she's a Brazilian, basically, and she is staying in Syria. So she's telling about how they are suffering there. It's so disturbing listening to things like what's happening there. But we are not aware because whatever has been shown to us, we see only that part. The same way happening with the children also. I think now it's all about narratives. It's all about the storytelling. Whose stories and whose narratives are better than and manipulative. So there the cyber psychological aspects can be used. And the new generation, those who are not able to find the credibility of any news, fake news, another thing, the deep fake AI, another part. So if they are trained about this thing in schools, colleges, or even as a professional, I think we can have a new peaceful world under the cyber psychological aspect.
I agree. And it is, I think the biggest challenge is human resource,
Because
is just to get people who are passionate about this and get them trained up as soon as possible. We really need resource all over the world, urgently.
all over the world.
Well, thank you so much for all of that. And it sounds a bit shallow to ask you a really silly question about which book you'd most recommend to anyone in cyber psychology. It just because all the stuff you're doing is so amazing, and now I'm asking which book you'd recommend. Seems a very shallow question.
We have all the common answers. We all know that we have all been following Mary and the Cyber Effect book and all these books written by Mary is awesome. That's basically the holy book of cyber psychology, you can say, initially the start of cyber psychology. So that's a big for the beginners, it's good. I've also authored one of my book called Wired for Wellness, been published by the Adroit Publishers, and we have unveiled it in Japan last year. So that is for the parents, teachers, and students to understand the basics of cyber psychology. So right from the evolution of cyber psychology, the generation, the chemical responsible, case studies, and brain and mind, how it works online. That is about that book in a very simple language. So, but I will recommend anybody who wants to start, should start with Mary Akin's book so they can have a love for cyber psychology.
Yeah, that was the very first book I ever read on cyber psychology, and I was absolutely hooked from page one. And it just, yeah, just gave me such a passion for the subject. So, yeah, highly recommended.
Yay.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for all your time and for giving us some insight into what you're doing in India. It just sounds like you are completely exhausted with all the things that you're doing, but still have so much energy and passion for spreading the word and getting people on board and getting them building up the knowledge of what cyber psychology is to help every single person, every single generation. So thank you for all that you do in India for the field.
I just thank you also for inviting me and so that my voice can reach to the other side of the world. And this is a constructive side of cyber psychology, like we are doing it online. So this is the positive part of that thing. Both the thing coins up both the sides. And with your appreciation words, I am really encouraged. And these words makes me more energetic to work more hard and to make it more applicable and bringing us in social impact. And that's the reason I'm trying to connect all the dots from the world and inviting them, all of them, to India and see how we are working here and how we can bring our impact. Same like the yoga, which is now ruling completely all over the world. Same thing we wanted to come up with India also.
Brilliant, brilliant. So thank you so much for all your time and for joining us on Confessions of a Cyber Psychologist. So really looking forward to getting updates on all the things you're going to be doing over the next couple of years. And we'll be sharing the links to the certificates that you've got in India and your Facebook page and your LinkedIn page and all the other exciting
Sure.
things you've been doing and your book. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.